Hello, and welcome to the next installment of At Home Sunday School. This is lesson 28, and we continue to explore what Scripture tells us about the empty tomb and the appearances of Jesus to his disciples. So we have been considering Jesus' resurrection, the empty tomb, and today we're going to look particularly at Jesus' appearance to Mary Magdalene outside of the tomb. And I'm going to change my picture here once everything cooperates. We will change our perspective here to the empty tomb just a little. Right now we're as if we are in the tomb looking out to the rolled away stone. And now we will consider Mary Magdalene and Jesus. And the artist who did the picture that is behind me does a wonderful job of portraying Mary's face of a mix of surprise and awe, the tear in her eye from her weeping, as we will see momentarily, and the joy mixed with awe and just wonder and uncertainty of what's going on. The scripture text that we'll be using is primarily from John. There's a bit of text also from Mark, which we will, also look at. So we go, first of all, to Mark 16, verses 9 through 11, and then John 20, verses 10 through 18. First of all, with Mark 16. Actually, first of all, let's pray. Lord Jesus, our risen and living Savior, be with us as we study in your word. Help us to have our faith strengthened by the assurance that you are alive as we consider these eyewitness accounts that you have recorded for us. Help us never to doubt that you are living and living to help us, to serve us, and that your life means that we too will live and that our sins are forgiven. Be with us and bless us as we study in your word today. Amen. Now, Mark 16, verses 9 through 11. Now, when he rose, that's Jesus, early on the first day of the week, Easter Sunday, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. And we find out also that he had cast out seven demons from her at some point in the past. We see Mary in a number of different places at the cross and also now taking spices to Jesus' tomb and Jesus appearing to her. We run into her from time to time. She's among the women who are traveling with Jesus. And here we find out from Mark that one of the things unique about Mary is that Jesus cast out seven demons from her at some point in his ministry. But Mark also gives us a timestamp that he appeared first to Mary. We won't take a look at the specific text of the other gospel accounts. They're pretty familiar. We think of the women going to the tomb and they see that the stone is rolled away, and Mary apparently runs back right away then, rather than continuing on to the tomb, because we find out later that she looks into the tomb and we'll see what else happens at that point. And we also know that Jesus appeared to the other women at some point, to Peter as well, and then to the disciples in the evening. So it's a little hard to know exactly how the coming and the going, exactly how they occurred, and was Mary with all the other women the whole time? Did she run back? Were there two groups of women? How that exactly worked? It's not important to the takeaway truth from the account, but we do know that Jesus appeared first to Mary Magdalene, and then everything else has to fit around that timestamp. She went, and we'll see more about that appearance with Mary in a little bit in John. So Mark just mentions it. John gives us some more detail. And we'll see from John as well that she went and told those who had been with him. She went and told the disciples as they mourned and wept. It's helpful to remember that Mary and the disciples, all these followers of Jesus, were in deep mourning yet on Easter Sunday. They were incredibly sad. They weren't expecting that Jesus would rise, even though they could have been, because Jesus had told them that he would. They weren't expecting that. They were deeply hurt and sorrowing because Jesus, their friend, their Lord, their Savior, had died. And so as they mourned and wept, Mary went and told them verse 11, but when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. It was too good to be true. They couldn't believe it. And that is kind of a recurring theme throughout the gospel accounts of Easter and Jesus' resurrection. We jump then to John chapter 20. The Sunday school lesson picks up in verse 10. This grade text at the beginning is also from John 20. Starting at verse 1, so we have verses 1 through 3, and then 8 through 10. Just helps a little bit with the context of John's account leading into what we're going to take a look at. So again, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. John only reports Mary. It doesn't mean that she wasn't with the other women as, as Matthew and Luke point out. It doesn't mean that Mary wasn't with them. John is just focusing on the account of Mary. It is also possible that Mary Magdalene was in a separate group, that this was two different trips. Even the other gospel writers, when they portray them going together, they're just really saying Mary Magdalene and these other women went to the tomb. Isn't necessarily implying that they were all together the whole way. So while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, that's John. So Mary comes, whether with the other women or alone, she comes, she sees that the stone is rolled away, and she takes off running to tell the disciples. The other women also see the stone rolled away, but they continue to the tomb. So when Mary comes to Peter and to John, she says, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Here she mentions "we," perhaps implying the other women. Notice what Mary concludes. Again, the tomb is empty. Jesus had said he would rise again on the third day, but her mind goes, somebody took his body. Grave robbers, maybe. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb would seem more to imply she thought the enemies had or somebody else had, but somebody has removed Jesus' body from the grave. That's the only possibility. The stone's rolled away. What else could there be? And we've seen this before in the other aspects of the other grieving disciples, looking at the situation very narrowly through what human eyes can see and assume to be true. Just that narrow window of, well, somebody took him. What else could it be? What else it could be is that Jesus rose from the dead. He said he would. And this is the third day. But in that narrow human sinful thinking, no, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've laid him. He's gone. So then Peter went out with the other disciple. They were going toward the tomb, and we'll skip over the rest, but that's Peter and John get to the tomb. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first, that's John, also went in, and he saw and believed. And what he saw was what John also reports Peter saw, the grave clothes lying and the napkin covering his head, separate from the rest of the clothes. So they saw, and John said he believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. So they saw it, they believed that the tomb was empty, they believed that something had happened here because the grave clothes were there, but they didn't yet fully understand this. They didn't get it. And we see that because the disciples are all gathered for fear of the Jews behind locked doors this very same night. They weren't there yet. They were gathering this information. They would understand it later. After they saw what they saw, the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary, so that's the contrast. Mary ran and told Peter and John, taking the Lord, we don't know where he took him. Peter and John ran to the tomb, saw what they saw, and then they went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. She was going to continue grieving and mourning there at the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped in to look into the tomb. We can go back to this picture. She's not stooping here. This rendition isn't small enough entrance to the tomb to mean that Mary would have to stoop in. But she was stooping in to look in the tomb, so much smaller entrance to the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. when you look at all the gospel accounts, some report two angels, some report one. There's no contradiction. If there are two, then there is one. So in the gospel accounts that mention one, it's really a focus on the one who speaks and the message that is being said. In this case, for John, he points out there were two angels there. It doesn't contradict, just that John is reporting both. Excuse me, whereas in the other case, it's just the one. The angel said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She had no reason to, because if she understood what Jesus had said earlier, she'd know that Jesus was alive. She said to them, again, same belief, "They have taken away the Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. So the same thing she tells the angel, or angels, as she told the disciples. This is her firm belief. Somebody has taken the body of Jesus. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. A number of different components of why she wouldn't have known Jesus. One is possibly that Jesus just simply made it impossible for her to recognize, that he basically closed her eyes to the truth. And that he somehow kept her from understanding who he was. In addition to that, we keep in mind her intense grief and not thinking she could possibly see Jesus alive. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you run into somebody in a store or somewhere where you just really would never expect to find them because they live from out of town or whatever it might be. And you aren't looking for them. And it takes a little bit to register. Oh, you are somebody I know, but why are you here? You don't seem to belong here. So now you put that into Mary's situation, grieving mightily in mourning, probably not real well rested, and not expecting to see Jesus at all. And then he undoubtedly looked a little differently than he did when he was going up to his crucifixion. Not a glorified body in the sense of bright and shining like at the Mount of Transfiguration, but now resurrected, so different. And then also just, again, the fact that Jesus could have covered her eyes in a sense to keep her from recognizing him as well. But she looked at him, didn't know it was Jesus. And Jesus asked her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener. Now, Mary's still operating on this idea of somebody's taken it. So who would take him away? Well, perhaps the gardener, the caretaker of that spot. So thinking that that's who that was, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him. I will take him away. I'll take him off your hands. I'll get him out of the way. If you don't want him here and you moved him, tell me. I'll move him, move his body so that I can mourn him and you can move on." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And that's all it took. One word from Jesus speaking her name. And she turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them," to the disciples, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. The picture of a very joyful Mary Magdalene declaring that she had seen the Lord. One of the things that Jesus has told the other women to tell the disciples is, "Go tell them that I'm going ahead of them to Galilee, just as I said." Jesus had told them, "I'll be seeing you in Galilee, in the north part, not in Jerusalem." And now here too, "I'm ascending to my Father and to my God and your God." Jesus would ascend to heaven in 40 days after Easter. And it would be from Galilee. And so Jesus is conveying these truths for the disciples as he goes along, and Mary's joy is overwhelming. Other examples of this, we think of the other women when they meet Jesus, presumably Peter as well, though we don't have that particular appearance in the scriptures. Thomas, the week after Easter, "My Lord and my God." And just all that desire to have proof melted away. He saw Jesus, he knew it was him, and he rejoiced. Here too, Mary, "I have seen the Lord. This is the joy that I have had." And we go back to Mark, and we remember they would not believe it. It was too good to be true, too fanciful. "Mary, you don't know what you're talking about." So they did not believe those things, not right away. Some lesson keys to recap. Mary Magdalene is another one of the many eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection. We see that same change from weeping to great, incredible joy. That's the thing, the joy that Jesus brings to us. We may weep, we may be sorrowing over our sins, over the hardships of this life, but Jesus can turn that weeping into joy because he's a living Savior. The news of a living Savior is what changed Mary's weeping to joy. A living Savior changes our weeping to joy. He lives for us and cares and takes care of us. We talked about the lack of recognizing Jesus, some of the reasons why that would have been. Think of Jesus' passage, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." Jesus simply said, "Mary," and she instantly knew who it was, and everything was instantly better. And every sorrow was instantly relieved, and every joy that had seemed to be gone forever had returned. "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." Mary reacted to the voice of her Savior calling her name. And again, the disciples did not believe Mary as an eyewitness. So that takes us through the last of the appearances of Jesus that we'll be considering in our Sunday school lessons this year. To balance out the rest of the year, we are now going to leave the account of Jesus' life and ministry at Easter time and his resurrection and leave that aside. There are many more things. You can always read through the accounts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, even in addition to your Sunday school lesson. This will be the last Easter story so much. And next week, we'll begin with some parables of Jesus. We'll consider a number of parables and then conclude the year with Pentecost several weeks ahead from now. So that is our study for today. Another wonderful example of the living Jesus showing himself alive, giving eyewitness proof that he is alive, having conquered sin and death. May God richly bless your time in his word.